Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 9th day of February 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Wayne will help us digest what happened at 11 o'clock this morning when the United States Department of Agriculture released its latest World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report. Then a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, that with Don Day out of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way, we'll discuss the agricultural energy market with Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. It all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I hear the way the numbers finished up on this World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report Day from Chicago. March corn was down a penny and a quarter, 361. May at 366, one lower. July down one and a quarter, 371. And December corn at 384. For your new crop, a penny and a half lower. March beans up three quarters at $8.63 and a quarter. May at 867 at a quarter, three quarters higher, and July at 873 up a half. November beans at $8.78, three quarters of a cent higher. Bean meal futures down $1.40 at $2.63.10. The bean oil 5 cents lower at $30.70. March wheat futures at $4.57.5, down a penny for the day. And the soft red, July at $4.66.5, down one and three quarters for the new crop soft red. Hard red, July at $4.64.75, down a half of a cent. Live cattle futures in Chicago currently trading $1.35 lower at $131.70, April at $131.70 as well. They're up 30 cents at this hour. March feeder cattle at $150.25, 92.5 cents higher, and the April at $150.25, up $1.27.5. Lean hogs February contract $65.25 unchanged, and the April there at $69.62.5, down a dime for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Visit us online at WILLAG.org. There you can order your tickets for our All Day Ag Outlook. It's coming up on Tuesday, the 8th day of March. Tickets are just $30. A dozen of our on-air analysts will be in the room at the Beef House, and for the $30, you get to hear them, hear a few extra folks, and get a Beef House lunch. It's a great deal, or you can dial 800-898-1065.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's take a look at the outside markets at this hour and see what's happening there. In the energies, ethanol futures at $1.40.2. They're down 2 1/10 cents. Crude oil for a barrel is at $28.32. At $1.37 lower, the price of gasoline on the RBOB at 92 3/10 cents. Let me repeat that number because it is so very low, and the Midwest now has some of the lowest prices. It has, well, new record lows for this time frame anyway. At 92 3/10 cents, the last trade there down 3 2/10. It's been below 90 cents today at 89 7/10 cents. Heating oil at 98 6/10. That's diesel fuel. It's 6 cents lower. Natural gas for the day at $2.09 6/10 cents is down 4 4/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 15,977 is down 11 points. The U.S. dollar at 96.085, maybe one of the important things to talk about with Wayne Nelson today, is down 0.496 at this hour. And gold futures at $1,190.75, down $7.25. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Scattered snow showers, cloudy, a high of 23 today. Tonight, scattered snow showers before 7, then some flurries after 7 all the way through 1 a.m. Cloudy and a low of 7 degrees tonight. That's right, a low of 7. Wind chills between negative 9 and 1. Northwest winds this evening at 17 miles an hour, and those will gust to 26. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I hope you've started dialing that number at 800-898-1065Y to buy your $30 ticket, of course, to the All-Day Agricultural Outlook, where you can all go online at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. Purchase your ticket online on our secure website, so you can do it one of two ways. The All-Day Ag Outlook is Tuesday, the 8th day of March. That's the second Tuesday of the month over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We kick off at, 8:30 our time, Eastern Central Time, 9:30 in the Eastern Time Zone. Doors open a half hour before that, and we've got a dozen of our regular analysts on hand, along with Emerson Nafziger and Gary Schnitke to talk about crop insurance and ways to save some money, along with Brian Young, who's a weed scientist over at Purdue. So it should be a great day. Oh, one of the other folks that'll be around, too, is Eric Snodgrass, who you hear on Friday afternoons to take a look at the weather. He's from Agrible. Speaking of which, thanks to Agrible for being a bronze level sponsor of our program. Without them and all the rest of our sponsors, we would not be able to put this forward to you for just that $30 price. If you want to come, you better get your tickets soon, because they usually sell fast. Again, 800-898-1065 or online at willag.org. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released its monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report. We now have this summary table for corn. Our carry-in for this year was 1.73 billion bushels of corn. We produced 13.601 billion bushels of corn. And the expected carry-out by the time we get to the end of the year is 1.837 billion on an average cash price of $3.60 for corn. And the change this month on the carry-out was up 35 million bushels for corn. For soybeans, those numbers look like this. We brought in 191 million from last year's crop, produced 3.93 billion. And we'll have a 450 million bushel carryout. Let me repeat that number. We brought in 191. By the time we get to the end of the year, we'll have 450 million left. $8.80 is the average cash price for the year, according to USDA. And we did raise the ending stocks, or that 450 million bushels went up this month from 440 last month, so up 10 million bushels. The wheat carryout was up 25 million bushels. It started the year at 752, and next year we'll have 966 million. Average cash price of $5. So that's a quick look at some of the numbers. Let's talk about those and what happened in Chicago with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Thanks for being with us and waiting so patiently this afternoon for me, Wayne. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Todd. And you forgot to mention the good cinnamon rolls to start the day at the Beef House.
Oh, gosh, yes, coffee and cinnamon rolls. You know, it's unbelievable that we can put all this together for such a small price. I'm still amazed by it, and just because I know what the costs are on the backside of this, but $30 is a bargain and a half. If you went to Chicago a couple of weeks ago, that one cost you $600, and our analysts are just as good as everybody else. So you can come over for $30. Actually, I think a little better, because I talk to them all the time, including you, Wayne. You'll be there as well at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And they ought to get started on buying those tickets right now. I'll give you the number again, 800-898-1065. So sometimes the USDA reports can throw us a curve. That's not usually the case in the month of February. And for all intents and purposes, it just was kind of, okay, now we have the numbers sort of day, wasn't it?
It was a ball thrown low speed down the middle of the plate. It basically, yawner was what they said the February report generally is, and it led up to that billing. We closed today down a penny in the corn and up a penny in the beans. Didn't raise the Brazilian number at all for the world number. We did raise Argentina a little bit. We dropped the crush a little bit, but didn't drop our exports. And still hoping to see a little bit of pickup there. So the beans fared a little bit better than the corn. But all in all, it's going to take something to happen to get this market out of its doldrums. And, weather change would be very good for it, something this way. But we continue to see sort of improving weather conditions in South America, and that's not getting us the rally we'd like to see.
Yeah, one of the things I'll urge producers to do is to go visit our website again at willag.org, and you can buy your tickets, but look for the USDA numbers. They're on the homepage at the moment, so you don't have to go very far. If you get to it a bit later, they may be hidden, but they'll be under the USDA reports page, and the world numbers are there for production, wheat, corn, and soybeans. I've set up a spreadsheet that allows that to be converted into bushels, so it's much easier, I think, maybe for you to get a grasp on what production really looks like around the world. So, for instance, when we talk about soybeans, we produce worldwide 11.777 billion bushels. That's a lot of beans. In the United States, we produced, what, 3.93 billion. Brazil will produce 3.674 billion this year. That's equal to 100 million metric tons. Argentina, 2.15 billion, and they're at 58.5 million metric tons. You can see all those numbers on the website, see the bushels to give you a better idea. You can see the corn number, too, there. Interestingly enough, that Argentine corn number went up 1.4 million metric tons, and while that's not a lot of corn, it still makes a big difference, and that was kind of a surprise. It was offset, I suppose, to some extent by the South African corn crop, Wayne, which dropped a million metric tons as well.
Yeah, and I think that the South African crop is increasing a little bit because they are looking to get some rains that are going to help them finish on out, or else it would have more than erased the Argentina increase. So, you know, and just on that. But, you know, we are seeing much heavier competition coming out of South America than what we had, especially in the corn, where we were the main market grocery store before. Now we're having to share a grocery store rights with that.
Yeah, so we've had U.S. Farmers want to compete on the marketplace in the world scheme, and they're up against heavy competition out of South America for soybeans in particular in Brazil, and now the corn crop is under pressure as well. That corn crop, I made note in the USDA's executive summary, comes into harvest in June and July, so it's harvested late in the year, and I guess I'll have to pay more attention to it. I wasn't thinking so much about it, but it's a pretty good-sized crop at 3.3 billion. Bushels. So we'll have to think more about watching that one in June and July and what happens with it as it comes in. USDA and its executive summaries, Wayne, and I, if you look on the website again or on my Twitter account, and the website just has my Twitter account embedded into it, the executive summary had a really nice couple of graphs about the when that corn crop comes in and what the size of it is and where it's raised in South America. Most of it, surprisingly enough, Wayne, comes in the same place the soybeans do, I suppose, but they do two crops in 1 year. So soybeans followed by the safrinha or second crop corn. A lot of it comes out of Mato Grosso. That's a really good production area, isn't it?
Yeah, that's sort of like Iowa and Illinois.
Yeah, indeed it
is. I mean, basically, it's a good cropping area, and they have the chance to get the second crop corn off there, and that's why we're sort of hoping for some wet conditions to stay around so they can't get that seeded timely or get as many acres out. You know, like farmers, we always wish for bad luck for the other guy,
Know,
just so we can have a good price. But and we hope he collects his insurance and we get the good crop.
Yeah,
but
speaking of which, insurance, there's another thing, and this is a little off the topic, but farmers will be interested. The president putting forward his budget this time around, and it zeroed out crop insurance.
He just doesn't like us. I don't know where and why, but it's something easy to look like you're cutting. The farmers are a very small number of people. They forget that small number of people feeds all of us, and they go on with that. But hopefully we'll have some protection again in the Congress. We think very much that Republican House and Senate probably isn't going to pass his bill here right now going into the election.
Probably not, and I should correct myself, zeroed it out, but that was over time, the 10-year phase out. So his budget looks forward 10 years. The 2017 number did drop pretty dramatically, though. So anything else that we had to take up for the marketplace today before I let you go?
Well, we did see a nice little rebound in the cattle market here once we get out at least the April. Why, we're $25 to $30 to $40 higher. So a little bit of turnaround from limit down yesterday.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it, Wayne.
Thanks, Doug.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, GOP conservatives in Congress may want a do-over of last year's budget deal that increases domestic and defense spending. However, agricultural leaders in the House and Senate have already started to push back. The two-year spending deal eased automatic budget cuts by about $30 billion, while new ARC and PLC farm subsidies took a hit from sequestration cuts. Now, with the economy slowing again and the deficit projected to increase, conservatives want new budget savings. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Mike Conaway says his committee wrote to the House budget chairman last week saying agriculture has had enough.
From our perspective, we continue to believe that the Committee on Agriculture has done its duty for now with respect to deficit reduction, and that areas constituting the other 98% of the federal budget ought to be looked to first for additional budget savings.
House and Senate agriculture leaders successfully turned back $3 billion in crop insurance cuts last year, but work kicks off this week on the fiscal year 2017 budget plan and spending bills as President Obama submits his final wish list to Congress. Over in the Senate, longtime agricultural Republican Charles Grassley says the politics, well, they're good to preserve the status quo funding for agriculture.
We worked 2 or 3 years to get a farm bill passed. You want it to last 5 years for certainty for farmers, and that's where we're going to be. And I think as long as Roberts and Stabenow are arm in arm on that, that we don't have any problem.
Congressional agricultural leaders continue to argue they'll cut an estimated $23 billion total over 10 years in the farm bill and through sequestration, including saving billions by ending direct payments. Well, just a couple of other news items for the day. The U.S. Meat Export Federation says pork exports in December remained solid while beef exports were lower. The USDA numbers show beef exports posting the first full-year value decline since 2009. December beef exports totaled more than 94,000 metric tons. That's down 6% from 2014 as export value fell 21% month to month. In 2015, beef exports were down 11% from a year ago in volume to 1.07 million metric tons. Export value was $6.3 billion, 12% below the 2014 record of $7.14 billion. And finally today, Egg Farmers of Canada, a grower group representing more than 1,000 Canadian egg farmers, announced a transition from what it calls conventional egg production towards other production methods. Chairman of Egg Farmers of Canada, Peter Clark, says he was pleased that the entire industry had agreed to an orderly transition plan that will do away with conventional housing. Currently, about 90% of Canadian egg production is in conventional housing. They expect the conversion to be to 50% complete in 8 years. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There you can buy your tickets for the all-day Agricultural Outlook. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural energy markets by Archer Financial Services' Stephen Platt. Stephen, thanks so much for being with us. Let's start today not with the agricultural energies, but with energies in general. The price of crude oil, which is making lows again. The price of the dollar, which is down. These are certainly very low prices and very unique at this time.
Well, certainly this market is moving pretty sharply from one moment to the next, as we saw even today. The stock market has been a big factor, and that is reflective of the economic situation. We had the stock market down over 200 points in the Dow. It's now coming back and actually showing some pretty much an unchanged print there. You're looking at the oil prices now under pressure, but they've also come back from some pretty significant lows. The March crude traded down to as low as 27.74. 27.55 was a low reach back in January. So the market did retest that low and so far has held. We did have some pretty interesting comments from the IEA. Certainly they're suggesting that global oil demand growth will slow considerably here as we move through 2016, which everyone I think was hoping would show some pretty good increases. They're suggesting that we're going to be basically looking at growth on the order of 1.2 million barrels per day, falling from 1.6 last year. Certainly the slowdown in Europe and China, and also even the U.S., all contributing to that weaker tone. But one has to recognize these are certainly estimates and things can change. And oil prices do have a big impact on economic expenditures by the consumer. We've looked at oil prices fall here almost by half here since last year at this time. Heating oil is half what it was at this point in time, or diesel. And even natural gas has fallen pretty sharply as well, along with even electricity prices. So this has put a lot of money back into consumer hands at the lower income levels, which I think will have at least a more positive impact as we move through this year in terms of the U.S., but also other countries as well who are highly dependent upon oil imports, such as Japan and maybe even China, will show some stabilization in terms of their economic outlook. And this has been a big factor contributing to some of the pressure we've seen on values.
Is there any indication that the U.S. consumer has responded by driving more miles?
Well, there was initially. That has pulled back here, and some of it might be weather-induced. Certainly earlier in terms of the weather, that was a somewhat supportive influence to maybe certainly travel. Well, I have to see how the summer driving period, which I think will be somewhat explosive, actually, in terms of vacations and people taking more vacations domestically in terms of car travel, possibly being a big factor to support. And we've seen, and one thing that I've been somewhat suspicious of is how these margins have reacted. Certainly, summer-grade gasoline has been weak relative to crude oil, and some of that may be just a reflection of the margins possibly contracting on a percentage basis since crude oil has fallen. But that certainly does bode well for the consumer in terms of those margins coming in. And that has also been apparent in terms of the diesel as well.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you, and have a great day.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energies. You can find him again and all of our reports at willag.org. That's willag.org. We post them there not long after they air on our radio stations. Also, there's a way to purchase tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. That's Tuesday, the 8th day of March. You can do that again on our website at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
It's National Bagels and Lox Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1870, the creation of the U.S. National Weather Service was authorized by Congress and placed under the guidance of Cleveland Abbey, who had the unique skill of being the only person in the nation who had experience drawing weather maps from telegraphic reports and predicting the weather from them. Abbey is generally known as the father of the U.S. Weather Bureau. In 1889, the United States Department of Agriculture was established as a cabinet-level agency. In 1894, Hershey's Chocolate Company was founded as a subsidiary of Milton S. Hershey's Lancaster Caramel Company. And in 1901, Fred Harvey died in Leavenworth, Kansas. Born in 1835 in London, Frederick Henry Harvey operated a chain of restaurants called the Harvey House and a series of railroad dining cars and hotels. The restaurants were opened along the route of the Atchison, Topeka and Santa Fe Railroad and were staffed by Harvey girls, who over the years numbered in the thousands. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon, the 9th day of February. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day joins us from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the weather forecast for the growing regions around the planet. Where would you like to start today, Don?
Well, let's start across the U.S., where we're going to continue to see the Midwest and the central and eastern part of the nation still very, very chilly and very wintry here for another good week or so.
And once we get through that process, do we warm up?
Well, we will. And I think the warm-up will be followed probably by another colder weather pattern again towards the end of the month. But I do see a bit of a break from the cold, but it's probably a good solid week away before it gets here.
And what happens between then and now?
Well, between now and then, we are going to continue to have some opportunities for winter weather in the form of what will be some snow. I think at least from the Midwest and Corn Belt standpoint, any snow chances between now and Saturday, pretty meager, but there will be some flurries in the cold air. But as we get into Sunday and Monday of next week, an area of light to moderate snow will cover most of the Midwest, the Great Lakes, and could even see some ice and snow in the far southeastern areas of the U.S.
Let's turn your attention to South America, where the soybean crop in Argentina and Brazil would both be in the midst of really setting pods and getting itself situated for the coming harvest, which for most of them will be somewhere between, 30 and 45 days away, I would think, still?
Yeah, right now, I would say from what we're looking at across both the key growing areas of Argentina and Brazil, that we're looking at a fairly temperate weather pattern in terms of good chances for precipitation. When it comes to temperature conditions across those growing areas, it'll be Argentina. If there's going to be areas that may be stressed, while rain chances don't look bad, Argentina is going to be pretty hot. Brazil, temperature is much more moderate, much more temperate.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on this 9th day of February to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. You can hear him again. All of our weather reports again, in fact, if you'd like, on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Just look for the PM weather over in the menu. It's either on the right-hand side of the page or potentially the bottom of the page, depending on how wide you have that website opened up as a window on your laptop and or on your iOS or Android device. Looking forward to having you, by the way, at our all-day agricultural outlook. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can buy your tickets online too, willag.org. Buy as many tickets as you like. They're just $30 a piece, but don't wait because these go really quickly. We'll have probably somewhere around 300, maybe a bit more than that, folks in the room over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, and we'll get those tickets sold really quickly. So get online right now at willag.org and buy your tickets, or if you want, you can just call this number. It's an 800 number. It's 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065 to buy your tickets for the all-day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You have a great afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.